Good evening, everyone. Good to see you out tonight. Thanks for coming. Let's open our Bibles one more time to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. And tonight we're going to be looking at verses 20 and 21. All right, so Zechariah chapter 14, verses 20 and 21. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for a beautiful day, beautiful week, your mercies toward us. We thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you tonight, to study your word, to continue growing in the knowledge of our Lord and his word. We pray that you would speak to our hearts now. May we be guided by your spirit. May we be taught by the spirit. May he lead us in the study of your word. And may you be glorified through it all. Pray that you'd bless our fellowship together this evening, our prayer time, and just all that's said and done. May it be a help and encouragement to each and every one of us, that we'd go away encouraged and better equipped to walk with you, Lord, to live in a way that glorifies you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've seen in our recent studies in the book of Zechariah, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns and establishes kingdom on this earth, there are going to be some great changes, many that we very much look forward to. We saw how on a national level there's going to be a change spiritually speaking, because worldwide people are going to become worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nations from all over the earth are going to come on a yearly basis to the city of Jerusalem, where they're going to worship Jesus Christ and they're going to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. So when Jesus comes, when Jesus reigns, there's a change on the national level. There will be universal worship of Jesus Christ. But when Jesus reigns on this earth, the change is not going to only be seen on a national level, but it is going to be seen on a home level and an individual level. The fact is, the very lives and homes of people are going to be transformed, and holiness and devotion to the Lord are going to permeate even the most basic tasks, the most basic things of life. And what is true in that day should be true of us today. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within us, then our lives should be characterized by holiness, every part of our lives. And so tonight, for this message, we're going to conclude our study of Zechariah and consider this thought together: holiness unto the Lord. You read those words repeated a couple different times in our text, and that is the central thought seen in these verses of Scripture: holiness unto the Lord. What we see tonight is going to help us to understand that during the millennial kingdom, the prevailing characteristic on the earth is going to be holiness, okay? Devotion to the Lord. Things being set apart unto the Lord for his purposes, okay? Understanding that should help us then to recognize that just as God's most emphasized, his most outstanding characteristic as described in Scripture is his holiness, if he is our Father and we claim him as our King, then just as in the millennial kingdom, holiness is going to be the outstanding characteristic, so holiness should be the predominant characteristic of our lives right now as members of God's kingdom, if indeed we're living under the reign of Jesus Christ. So to guide our study tonight, let's note two main ideas in our text relating to this holiness unto the Lord. What it's going to look like in that day. What will holiness unto the Lord mean in a practical way during the millennium? And what does that mean in our lives today? How should holiness unto the Lord be evidenced in our lives as believers? believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's note two thoughts regarding this holiness unto the Lord. First of all, we'll note the pervasiveness of it, or you could say the prevalence of it, or the predominance of it. And then secondly, the purity of it. So our first thought is found there in verse 20 and in the first half of verse 21. And as you read through those verses, you find this truth, again, that the characteristic and spirit of holiness during the millennium is going to be so pervasive, it's going to be so prevalent, that it is going to be demonstrated in every area of life. If you look at verse 20, you find that during the millennium, the main mode of transportation, no pun intended, the main mode of transportation during the millennium is going to be horses. I was thinking about that. I think, you know, we live in a noisy world, and I think that the millennium is going to be a very peaceful time. And it's probably not going to be so noisy. So automobiles, it seems, are going to be replaced by horses. I still like the sound of cars, okay? Last night, we went over to Harris Speedway in Rutherfordton for a special dirt track race. I haven't been to one in many, many years. And I'm going to be honest with you, even with earphones on, I like the sound of 900 horsepower screaming at me. I like the smell of racing fuel burning, okay? It's just, anyhow, Brother Sonny's back there. Amen, brother preacher. No, anyhow, I enjoy the noise sometimes, okay? I don't so much enjoy getting pelted with, you know, North Carolina red clay and all that, but anyhow, I kind of like the noise every now and then. But in that day, in the millennium, things are going to be different. The main mode of transportation is going to be horses. We've kind of alluded to that earlier. These horses, as you read in verse 20, we have this implication that these horses are going to come with some standard equipment, some standard things, you know, straight from the factory. They're going to come with bells. Okay, these bells are going to be basically the replacement for horns today. These bells will alert pedestrians, as well as other horses or horse-drawn carriages of their approach. In other words, the Lord's going to still be watching out for traffic safety, so you don't get mowed over by Jehu and his, you know, chariot. So there are going to be horses. They're going to be equipped with bells that as they go along, you hear jingle bells. You'll know a horse is coming. You stop, look, listen before crossing the street. But the most remarkable thing about these horses and the bells is the fact that on the bells on these horses, these words are going to be engraved: holiness unto the Lord. And those words are interesting. If you go to Exodus 28, verses 36 through 38, you find that those very words were embroidered upon the garments of the priests. Okay, this is high, holy language that's going to be engraven on the very bells of the horses. You say, well, what does this mean? Well, I think it means this. In that day, even people's vehicles, their mode of transportation, is going to be dedicated to the Lord. They're going to be holy. They're going to be dedicated to the Lord. They're going to be engraved with reminders of that truth. Like, this car belongs to King Jesus. This horse is dedicated. It's set apart unto the Lord to be used for His service and never to be used for anything that displeases Him. This holiness during the millennium is going to be prevalent. It's going to affect every area of life, even people's horses. And it's going to be engraven on it, holiness unto the Lord. Well, it doesn't stop there. As you continue reading in verse 20, along with these bells on the horses being engraven with the words holiness unto the Lord. In that day, the common pots, the second part of verse 20, it says, and the pots, the common pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. So the common pots in the temple in that day are going to become like They're going to be holy, like the bowls that are used at the altar of sacrifice. So common pots, even the common pots in the Lord's house, are going to be dedicated to the Lord. They themselves are going to be instruments that will be used in offering sacrifice to the Lord. To sum it up, we could say this: every possession is going to be holy. It's going to be seen as dedicated to the Lord for His purposes, for His service. Whether it's my horse that I ride, you know, to get where I need to go, whether it's the pots that are used, they're going to be considered dedicated to the Lord just as if they were bowls at the Lord's altar. And extends beyond the Lord's house. Verse 21, it says, "Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah," not just the ones in the temple, not just the ones used in the holy place for offering sacrifice, but every pot, the pots in the lady's pantry at her home, are going to be holy unto the Lord. They're going to be dedicated to the Lord for His service. So every possession will be dedicated to the Lord for His use, for His glory. And certainly, if this is true of the possessions, it's going to be true of the people who possess them. And this has always been God's will for His people, by the way. It's always been God's people that every part of their lives be considered holy, dedicated to the Lord, that it belongs to Him. It's dedicated to His purpose. And finally, in that day, it's going to see its ultimate realization in the people of Israel. Let me just share a few scripture references. Exodus 19:6, the Lord said, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Now those words were not just spoken to the priests that would serve in the tabernacle or the temple. All of God's people. It was always God's will for all of His people to be holy, dedicated, devoted to the Lord in every area of their lives, not just those employed in the tabernacle or the temple. Leviticus 11:45, "For I am the Lord that brought you up out of the land of Egypt," which includes all of Israel, not just certain ones, "to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Deuteronomy 7:6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." So in that day, this spirit of holiness is going to be pervasive. It will influence and touch everything and every part of people's lives. Common tasks, such as using pots, is going to become as a sacrifice, honoring to the Lord. Now, how does this apply to us today? Well, first of all, we need to understand this general truth that it is God's will for us as His people today to be holy. And this is to affect every area of our lives. Paul said in Ephesians 4 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God, that is, after God's likeness, we're created in God's image, after God's likeness and image, is created in righteousness and true holiness. So to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is created in God's image in righteousness and holiness. Putting on holiness, devotion to the Lord, set apart unto the Lord. Peter again said, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation." This holiness extends beyond our position before God. He's telling you, you are holy in your position, you are sanctified, but be that in all manner of conversation. No area of your life that is not to be characterized by holiness, because it's based on God's character. We're created in His image, and by the Holy Spirit, we're able to live out that likeness. Again, as the Holy Spirit lives within us, you and I understand this, that our very bodies are God's house, His temple, and it's to be holy. And this is the first area, you know, in verse 20. It says there, the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Well, today, God's house is not a physical building, you know, brick and mortar or whatever, wood. But our bodies are God's house today. That means they're to be dedicated to the Lord for His purposes. Paul said, what, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Again, of all the titles that the Holy Spirit could be given, He's given the title, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Also, we need to understand this as New Testament believers. Just as it was true for Old Testament believers, just as it will be true in the millennium, the possessions which God entrusts to us must be holiness unto the Lord. We need to recognize that everything we have, every good thing we have, comes from God, and it is to be dedicated to God's service and never used for what displeases Him. Furthermore, just as in that day, when Jesus reigns and all is going to be holiness unto the Lord, so as He reigns in us today, there will be no secular ground in our lives. All will be holiness unto the Lord. Everything we have, everything we do is to be holy, dedicated to God's glory, to God's service. Our bodies are His temples. Our possessions are used for His glory. And even daily tasks like preparing meals in common pots are to become like acts of sacrifice and service to the Lord when Jesus reigns. When King Jesus reigns in our lives, all will be holiness unto the Lord. All ground becomes sacred ground, and all work becomes an act of worship. This means, Christian wife and mother, when you pull the pots and pans down and you begin to prepare a meal, that's to be holiness unto the Lord. Yeah, you prepare meals for your family, but it's to be done unto the Lord. Paul said, look, your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. And by the way, whether therefore you eat or drink or cook or whatever, do it all to the glory of God. If King Jesus reigns, you're to be holy, and this is to permeate. It is to be the predominant characteristic of everything about your life. It will transform pots and just menial tasks into acts of worship. Paul conveyed this in Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Those words, reasonable service, could literally be translated reasonable worship. That's the idea. The word service there is service to God, worship. And be not conformed to this world, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, we need to recognize that along with having possessions, beginning with these bodies, the things that God gives us, the clothing that we put on, our houses, our cars, whatever, all our material possessions, it also extends to our natural abilities. They ought to be holiness unto the Lord. Whatever natural abilities or natural talents we have ought to be dedicated to the Lord for His glory, used for His service. Beyond these natural abilities, the Holy Spirit, who comes to live within every one of God's people, has given to each and every believer at least one spiritual gift that is to be used in serving and building up Christ's body, the church. These gifts would include speaking gifts such as pastoring and teaching, exhorting, evangelizing. It includes leadership gifts like administration and serving gifts such as helps, mercy showing, giving, and hospitality. Peter said, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So I ask you tonight, Christian, you say, I'm a member of the kingdom of God. I'm a child of the King. Jesus Christ is my King. I'm born again into the kingdom of God. Can you say that your life is characterized by holiness unto the Lord? Have you dedicated all you are and all you have to the Lord? Your body, the pots in your house, your car, your horse, your abilities, your gifts. Can you say, yes, that's true in my life. It's holiness unto the Lord. It belongs to Him. And I'll use it for His purposes, never for purposes that displease Him. So that's the pervasiveness or the prevalence of this holiness. And then finally, there's the purity of it. And this is taken from the last statement in verse 21. It says, and in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. So it's described in those last words of this book of prophecy, the holiness in that day is going to be further seen in the purity of God's house. So the Lord says it here, in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. You know that under the Old Testament, there were certain people groups that unless they were converted to the Lord, they were not to be joined into the congregation. They were not to participate in the worship of the Lord with God's people. Deuteronomy 23:3, an Ammonite, which were among the Canaanites, an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. So the Lord says in that day, everything's going to be holiness unto the Lord, even the pots in the Lord's house, and every pot in Jerusalem is going to be holiness unto the Lord. That's positively speaking, but there's also this side, there's not going to be any Canaanite in the house of the Lord. The pots that are there will be holy, but there won't be any Canaanite. And it seems that the basic truth being taught here as it applies to the millennial kingdom is that, as one author put it, there will be no foreign or profane men mingled with the faithful to pollute the pure worship of God. Those are kind of, it's a little bit wordy. But spiritually speaking, I think we could describe it this way. In that day, there are no longer going to be any tares among the wheat. No tares among the wheat. There will be holiness in the worship and service of the Lord, and that holiness will be characterized by purity. And for believers today, there's a lesson here in how true holiness not only transforms our common work into acts of worship, but it also ensures purity. And we must have both if there's to be true holiness unto the Lord. You see, we can do all kinds of acts of service, we can give all kinds of sacrifice, but it can all be negated by the presence of sin or impurity in our hearts, and again in our temple. A Canaanite shall not be in the house of the Lord. Today, corporately, we're the house of the Lord. Individually, our bodies, our lives are the house of the Lord, the temple. And there ought not be any Canaanite in us. There ought not to be any sin. There ought not to be any spirit of worldliness in us. Because, again, we can do all these acts of service and sacrifice and yet negate those things because of the presence of sin. The writer of Ecclesiastes said it this way, one sinner destroyeth much good. Let me put it this way. Impure holiness is an oxymoron, right? That's a paradox. Impure holiness? No, that doesn't work. Our lives, our homes, our church must be kept pure if they are to be holy and pleasing to the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord means that we are to be separated unto the Lord. And everything we have is to be dedicated unto the Lord, but there's also being separated from that which displeases the Lord. Holiness has both positive and negative aspects. It's all good, but positive in the aspect that we are separated unto God. Negatively, we're separated from that which displeases the Lord. Separated from sin, impurity, and worldliness. So as citizens of God's kingdom, today, right now, living under the reign of Jesus Christ and dwelt by the Holy Spirit, let's live under His control and allow Him to transform every part of our lives to be holiness unto the Lord. Father, thank You for allowing us to spend this time in Your Word tonight. We thank You that You have given us as Your special gift to us the person of Your Holy Spirit, to give us a thirst, a desire for holiness, to give us the power to live a life that is dedicated to You, that lives for Your glory in everything that we do, Lord, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatever we do, can all be done to the glory of God. And I pray that we would see the blessing, the joy that there is in that, Lord, and that You would be pleased with every area of our lives, and that it would even transform the way we go about our daily tasks. That may be things that are very, very simple, things that no one would recognize as anything that matters much at all, and yet it can indeed be something that's dedicated to You and glorifies You. May our lives be holiness unto the Lord, and I pray, God, that You keep our hearts pure from sin and worldliness, Lord, anything that would displease You. Please help us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.